Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
6:10, good morning. Oh, man, this could be the best week of the summer. Like 80 and sunny every day. What else do you need? What, do you agree? This is as good as it gets. This is Top 6 at 6 in the second. Chuck Todd coming up. Superintendent Eddie Johnson will join us in the second hour today. Lots to talk about with him. Pat Brady will be here. And the president's calling, so that'll be interesting because, you know, last night was the second night of the second Democratic debate in the two-night extravaganza. You know, there's about 230 million eligible voters in America. And if you think half of them are Democrat and half are Republican, that's 115 million Democrats. I think I'm right about this. I think CNN had 8 million watching two nights ago. I don't know what the numbers were last night. I'm sure they're not out yet. But 115 million eligible voters, 8 million were watching. That's less than 7%.
And what does that tell you?
That the constant yammering on about this is a tad early. It might be directly related, by the way, to CNN and MSNBC, both taking it in the shorts ratings-wise lately.
And maybe, too, it's I don't want this many people on stage.
Well, there's that.
I don't need it.
Yep, there's that. There's no question.
And it makes you anxious.
It does.
Watching it. I was talking to my daughter last night about, you know, anxiety. She goes, it gives me anxiety. It's just, there's too many people. It's like watching The View, you know?
Yeah.
There's too much going on.
The idea that you can give somebody a question and say, oh, tell me in detail about your health plan, and they have 30 seconds to answer.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. And of course, Chuck Todd had to do the first round of this, so he knows a little bit of something about it. As I said, he's coming up. BMW Championship, still just, 2 weeks away now?
Just about, yeah.
And Vince Pellegrino runs that tournament. He'll be on this morning. And our old friend Jason DeSanto, speaking of debates, this guy teaches debate at Northwestern. A fine professor and an old friend of the show. He'll be on later on talking about this as well. We'll play more Lollapalooza Band, or a band I was in.
That gets underway today.
The game?
No, the Lollapalooza Fest.
You know, the game is kind of overshadowing the actual festival.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people are saying that. Yeah. And Dean will be there today. If you ever want to see Dean really unhappy and miserable, it's not all that humid today, though. Normally it's crazy humid. But he'll be out there today, and he'll be trying to look like he's thrilled to be there. Yeah. 2 hours before the gates open, with nothing happening. Talking about bands he doesn't care about. That'll be this morning.
Didn't we talk to him from a mud trench last year?
I think we did.
Yeah, the beauty, he's already been on once this morning, and the beauty is it's not raining heavily today, because normally isn't it raining heavily or storming
when he's there? Or it's just hotter than heck, yeah.
They had two or three storm stops last year, didn't they?
Oh, every year they've had those, where people literally run for their lives.
Yeah,
this is going to be a great weekend, weather-wise.
No storm.
And normally those evacuations are set to music. Like, they'll have one band on stage chosen to sacrifice themselves. All right, let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Statistics from last night's Democratic wang-dang-doodle. By the end of the night, Joe Biden had the most speaking time, 21 minutes and 1 second, mostly responding to people going, you know you suck, right? Senator Kamala Harris spoke for 17 minutes and 43 seconds, and she got beat up a little bit. Businessman Andrew Yang had the least amount of talking time, 8 minutes and 38 seconds. Did you guys see his opening, by the way? He said, what America needs is an Asian man who's good at math, and Donald Trump's not that.
Yeah, I don't think he has a chance of winning, but he had some really good points last night about a lot of different things.
You know what I see him doing? A cabinet member. I could see him easily being a cabinet member and working his way up politically if he stays engaged.
Yeah, one of the things he said last night about climate change was it's too late. We need to move people to higher ground.
Yeah, how about that for a wake-up call? Mm-hmm. Cory Booker had 12 minutes and 59 seconds, followed by Christian Gillibrand, Jay Inslee, Tulsi Gabbard, Senator Bennett, and even the people that did the statistics didn't know Senator Bennett's first name. Julian Castro and Mayor de Blasio. How long do you think de Blasio is going to stay in this thing? And people in New York hate him. The people around the country don't want him involved. Some of these 20 have got to drop out. Next, city officials confirmed the search for the alligator, popularly known as Chance the Snapper, cost $34,000. The fee for the alligator expert Frank Robb, who ultimately caught the gator. How much do you think it costs to catch a gator? Like, if you wanted, if you had a gator loose at a party and you needed to catch him, what would it cost you?
Well, it costs like a couple hundred bucks, I think, to trap a raccoon.
Right.
And this is a gator.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the black tape is, I'm thinking, maybe $4 for that tape. Fishing rod and a little hook, maybe that's maybe $50, $60. I don't know.
So what you're saying is you're paying mostly for labor.
Maybe.
Yeah. And you're right. $2,500 to get the gator.
Oh, wow, that's not a bad deal.
You got to pay for bravery.
Along with $2,166 in travel and lodging costs. How long was he in town?
And where was he staying?
Yeah, was he at the Four Seasons of Peninsula? Where was he staying? And I'm pretty sure the Peninsula, you can't take gators in there.
No.
I'm almost positive of that.
He should have been camping really nice, there is what he should have been doing.
They do have a really nice koi pond, though. You never know.
Yeah, it's possible.
I could have done it for 2 G's.
You may want to bid that next job up.
Yeah, buddy.
Animal care and control officers overtime was $6,000. Department of Street and Sand labor amounted to $15,000. Big surprise there. And equipment cost for the installation and removal of fencing and barricades was $8,000. I didn't know we had fencing and barricades. Were they fencing and barricades up to keep people from jumping in or something?
Well, they
keep them out.
When they hired Gator Rob guy, they closed off that part of the park and they put up that snow fencing to keep people out of that part of the park. So it was a pretty extensive amount of fencing that went out.
I don't know. We paid Alligator Bob. Remember the guy that couldn't get him?
Yeah, I think he sort of worked pro bono on that.
Oh, did he?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Well, he got, you know, he was paid what he was worth then, I guess, right?
My question is, are we still trying to find the person that dumped Chance the Snapper and give this bill to them?
Yeah, well, that's a very good point. And also tell them, don't have any more. You know, if you had one gator, you might have some weird freaky animals in your house, too. So, you know, if you suddenly find an emu just hanging out, no good reason. Next. United States citizens, that'd be you, me, and most of us, will soon be able to buy prescription drugs from Canada with less to no hassles. U.S. Health Secretary Alex Azar says Americans will soon be able to legally buy prescription drugs from Canada. Now, you can buy prescription drugs of various kinds from Canada now. There's a bunch of hoops you need to jump through to do it, but it's certainly doable. On Wednesday, Azar said American patients pay exorbitantly high prices for drugs that are cheaper in other countries. Well, of course, that's true. As I said, the FDA will oversee the program, but it's unclear how soon it will take effect. Next. For the first time since 2008, the Federal Reserve is cutting interest rates. Fed Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell announced on Wednesday that its key interest rate would drop by 0.25 point. Had an effect on the market, of course, negatively. The Dow dropped by 470 points before rebounding in the afternoon. We'll see if anybody is changing tunes and buying today with some of those opportunities. Next, 79-year-old Ohio woman has been sentenced to jail for the crime of feeding stray cats. Nancy Segula says she's a cat lover who couldn't resist helping a few stray cats, she said, were abandoned by a neighbor. But feeding stray animals is illegal in Garfield Heights, Ohio.
What?
That's the name of the town.
I know, but...
Garfield?
That's not right.
Segula was given 4 citations before a judge sentenced her to 10 days in county jail. She's a 79-year-old woman feeding stray cats. Did you have to put her in jail?
Well, she was feeding them lasagna, so.
Well, then she should have gone. Segula's family says they're outraged by the decision. Segula's due to report to jail in August. My guess is with the media that is reporting on this, that may not actually turn out to be jail time for her. Could she do like community service, like walk dogs or something?
Herd cats?
And finally this, the Cubs made a couple of deals yesterday. White Sox made a minor move. What's the summation there, Dave?
Well, for one thing, the Cubs helped the White Sox. How's because that? They got Nick Castellanos out of their division, and he kills the White Sox.
Okay, good.
So there's one thing. But the Cubs get a guy who's done exceedingly well against left-handed pitching, which has really been rough on the Cubs. Cubs have not been good against left-handers. Castellanos will be a free agent after this season, so this could be a rent-a-player type deal. I don't know. A couple of minor league pitchers in return. Tony Kemp from Houston, just a gives him a guy who can run the bases a little bit. He'll play second where they've been thin, and they still don't know how effective Ben Zobrist is going to be when he comes back.
Oh, and by the way, the Astros probably the winners of trade deadline debate yesterday when they picked up a starter.
Yeah, Zach Greinke.
Zach Greinke, one of the best in baseball.
Yeah, how about that? You know, like they don't already have enough pitching.
Yeah.
So, but give the Cubs credit. They do this every year at the deadline. They come up with, and it's not always going to work, but at least they're getting up and you know, taking their swings, and we'll see if it pans out. They also sent Carl Edwards Jr. to the Padres for another pitcher, left-hander. And you know, I mean, this was a guy who had been effective early in his career for the Cubs.
I liked him. He's just been struggling.
Yeah, but he struggled. It might have been time to just – and they sent him to the minors last week anyway.
Plus, he should just stick to NASCAR. I mean, that's really his key thing.
Yeah, that
Carl Edwards Jr.
And then as far as the White Sox, I think it's as we spelled it out yesterday. You're not at a point here where you give up these guys that you have nurtured and brought up and have them ready now to make an impact. If you're close to being ready to win, this isn't the time to start trading them away just to make a splash. So they did trade Nate Jones, who's on the injured list anyway, for a couple of minor league pitchers.
You satisfied with all that, Super Joe?
I sure am, yep.
Okay, just checking with you, because if you're not, we'll call the commissioner.
Man, I'm relieved.
We will take a break, come back in just a second. That's your Top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, let's play Lollapalooza or a band I was in at 312-981-7200. The fine people at App, Steve Shapiro and everybody at App, have provided us with App gift cards. We'll be happy to whoop one out and give it to you. Again, that's Lollapalooza band or a band I was in. And for those of you not familiar with America's fastest game show, fastest growing game show, I guess we could do a practice round here. You want to do a sample round?
Sure.
All right, so I'll give you a band. You tell me if it's a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in. The band is The Side Boobs. The Side Boobs. Is that a band I was in?
That's a band you were in.
Mary, you agree with that?
No, I'm going Lollapalooza.
Steve, what do you think? The Side Boobs.
I'm going to go Lollapalooza.
It's actually a band I was in.
Oh, wow.
It's a band I was in.
So.
Yeah.
You made that up, Steve.
No.
What?
Not at all. No. I mean, how many people behind my back have called me a big boob? Come on.
Oh.
So that's why we formed the Side Boobs.
So you're the lead singer.
Well, usually am, yeah. You want one more?
Sure.
Terrible at this game.
Nutter Butter Cookie Time. Nutter Butter Cookie Time.
Lollapalooza.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Steve?
No, I think that's a band you were in.
Steve's correct.
Really?
Now, the listeners haven't missed once. You guys really aren't that good at this.
I've been pretty good this week.
I've been
better this year than last year.
What I figured was you used the Nutter Butter, which is a trademark name, and I don't think that would ever be in a band name.
Nutter Butter.
Get in trouble.
Yeah. No, we actually wore patches on our cool clothes that said Nutter Butter Cookies, and we got an endorsement fee.
And plus, we were talking about Butterfingers yesterday, so that just kind of reminded you.
Yeah, did those samples arrive yet?
Yeah, where are they? I'm waiting for my Boston baked beans.
I have some.
I haven't seen them. No.
I have monitoring devices in the mailroom. I'll let you all know the moment they arrive.
Afternoon show got them.
312-981-7200. Lollapalooza band or a band I was in. We start with James in LaGrange Park. Good morning, James.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show.
Thank you. Where are you headed?
I'm headed to work, Rosemont area.
What do you do in the Rosemont area?
I am a service coordinator for Builders Chicago Corporation.
That sounds like a front for something illegal, is it?
No, sir.
Okay, all right, just checking. The band is Collision and Comprehensive. Collision and Comprehensive. Is that a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in?
I think that's a band that you were in.
That's correct. That's a band I was in. That's exactly right. You're a big winner. Got an app gift card. Thank you, James. Hold on, okay?
Didn't Liability leave that band?
Liability did leave that band and joined the Rolling Stones. Yeah, which is a shock to all of us. Chase is in Huntley. Good morning, Chase.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. You going to work?
Yes.
What do you do?
I sell industrial equipment.
Are you good at it?
No. That's why I'm calling WGN Radio.
Well, you're funny.
Thank you.
The band is Magic City Hippies. Magic City Hippies. Lollapalooza band or a band I was in?
Well, I'm going to say that's the band you were in. That's a shot in the dark.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's another answer. The other answer would be Lollapalooza band. But you like band I was in?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Well, that's incorrect, buddy. Magic City Hippies are actually a Lollapalooza band. It's too bad because we had a bonus $1 million in cash we were doing with that
just one. For that question.
But the idea, because Chase was funny, mm-hmm. Chase is a big winner, too. So give Chase an app card as well. Chase, nicely done by you.
Yeah, we don't want him to get a complex that he's not good at anything.
What's your job? Sell industrial supplies. You good at it? Nope. Mary's in Michigan City. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you today?
Fine. Thank you.
I can tell you have your game face on, Mary. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Band is Dorothy and the Goldfish. Dorothy and the Goldfish.
Lala.
It's a Lala band?
Yes.
Feel good about that answer?
Pretty much.
No! Oh, so sorry.
Oh, dear. Thank you.
Because you're so nice, you win as well. All right, so hold on. So everybody's a winner. Everybody gets an app gift card.
You're in a good mood.
App.com. That's a good week for me. ABT.com. App pleasing people since 1936. You know where Dorothy and the Goldfish came from? Me sitting around with Abigail watching Elmo's World. Because the beginning of Elmo, and we talked about before, Elmo's a terrific actor. In the beginning of Elmo's World, Elmo says, "Hi, guess what I'm thinking about today?" And then he introduces his friend Dorothy, the Goldfish, and I thought, what a great name for a band. And I got a couple guys together, and we were Dorothy and the Goldfish, and we only played children's show themes.
But Abigail's coming up with all of these. She's helping
she's
you out.
She's been an inspiration for a lot of them. She had very little to do with Collision and Comprehensive, however. So
Mitch McConnell is a man that knows less about Russia and Russian influence than even Donald Trump. And I know nothing. So I think it's a horrible thing when a paper, which is really just a paper for the benefit of Amazon, the Washington Post, is fake news, just like the New York Times is fake news. It's put there for the benefit, the Washington Post, of Amazon. That's my opinion.
I'd like to apologize to the president, because actually he lies all the time. He told the truth there. He said, I know nothing. You know, you got to get credit for that. That music means one thing. Our friend Chuck Todd joins us now. Don't forget MTP Daily at 4 o'clock our time on MSNBC and Meet the Press every Sunday morning. Good morning, Chuck.
Well, good morning, Mr. Cochran.
So, Chuck, this talk, this constant harangue about reinforcing the base, these people aren't going anywhere. So why reinforce a base that isn't going to go anywhere?
Are you referring to the Democrats or the Republicans right now?
Couldn't it?
I was just going to say, you could. That is a total Rorschach test, sort of. Let me test Chuck to see where his head is. Is it in Trump land or Biden land? Because you can, in different ways, that question has meaning with both. I guess the question is going from the Trump angle. I think he puts more importance into his base than anybody else does. But if you're him, and as much as I think he overrates the importance of his base, that I think he's doing it at the his focus on what he thinks his base likes and cares about only hurts him in a general. The problem is his experience says otherwise. And one of the things that I always remind people about American politics. Which is why I love, which is actually to me one of the best parts of it, is as logical and analytical as you can make it, you can't, there are some things that are just, that you can't sort of control for. And politicians are human beings. And at the end of the day, every politician that runs for president always assumes that the way they won whatever race they won the first time is the way to run the race.
Right.
And so with Trump, he's had one experience, 2016. So how he won that race in his head is how you win all races. I think that's why he keeps doing that.
Yeah, and I would say there's also a psychological constant need for affirmation amongst the group that actually affirms him. So,
Well, that's also true, right? A narcissist desperately always needs to be told how great they are. And obviously, the more this space does that for him, the more he'll do it for them.
So last night, watching the clown car that is the 20 Democrats running for president now, Biden still appears to be driving and appears to be the grown-up in the room for the most part. But what upside do the Democrats have for ripping on Barack Obama? Regardless how you feel about Barack Obama, if you're a Democrat, he's still pretty popular, isn't he?
I agree with you that Biden is still driving the car, but it does feel like the left turn signal. He just never knows when to turn off. Thank you very much.
You should use that today at 4.
I could, couldn't I? Yeah. Every Biden answer last night, you sat there and you just wondered, is he going to make it through it? And he'd make it through and you'd be like, oh, okay. All right. That Biden is good enough. And that was what he was last night. He would survive. A few times thrive. I mean, you know, he basically sent Gillibrand packing. So there were a few times where he actually thrived, but he just survived. Look, we are in a new phase of the campaign. Phase one was your announcement. Phase two is sort of putting down your tent poles of what kind of candidacy you want to be. And we started sorting the tiers. We are now in the beginning of phase three. Last night was the end of the beginning. That's a cliche a lot of people have beat up. So we are at the end of the beginning. We are now in this phase, the long campaign. And this is going to be what you saw last night. We will now see on the trail. We will now see in releases. You will see Oppo dumps all the time. We are now in this sort of grinded out campaign with a heavier focus on race, because the single most important voting block for everybody trying to get this nomination is African-American voters. And as long as Joe Biden's a front runner, that's why he's going to get more incoming on racial issues, because everybody chasing him desperately needs the chunk of African-American vote he now holds.
Speaking of the racial question, commander in racism is in Donald Trump. And of course, there's been a lot of talk too about his policy and his behind the scenes decision to go full on racist. Look, I stand where I stood 2 years ago. There is no policy. There is no decision. He gets up, he opens his mouth, and he starts his day. It doesn't mean he's not a racist. It's just I don't see that as a strategy meeting where they go, okay, let's go full racist, and let's see if they'll be sure to follow us then. Again, you already got him.
No. This is sort of what I would say sort of the way Nixon was racist, right? Which is, you know, those close to Nixon would say, well, he's not racist. He just thought that was a good way to win. He thought it was a political strategy. He thought many of his people were skeptical on race or things like that. That's how Trump would try to analytically explain it. Like, you know, I'm not that, but some of my people, you know, it's very Nixonian. And I think how he goes about it a little bit. I agree with you that on one hand, it comes naturally to him, right? And the fact of the matter is his entire adult life, he has been on the wrong side of racial issues, whether it was the 74 Justice Department, you know, issue of racial discrimination with what he did, with what he and his father did and how they ran their company, to the Central Park Five, to the birtherism. Anyway, I mean, there is a through line here. So he clearly has a history. But I do believe he thinks it's a good, that it is always, I think he believes it's been a good way for him to differentiate himself whenever necessary, to brand himself, whatever you want to call it. He's always believed his people, that this is his way of saying he knows his people. So while I take your point that it's not a strategy, I think he thinks it's strategic. How's that?
Throw him a Rubik's Cube, see what he can do with it. All right, look, this Baltimore story seems to have gotten very quiet very quickly. I used to live in Baltimore. You know Baltimore. It's right next door. It's got issues without question. Most major cities do. So does this story just go away now? Is this part of the pile of the former news cycles?
Let's see what happens tonight. You know, he does a rally in Cincinnati. You know, do you get this is the first rally since the send them back chants. First rally since his Baltimore screed. You know, it is interesting. Every time the president is accused of being a racist, he has to, you know, first it's almost like there's sort of a standard response that he does. I'm the least racist person in the world. That's usually the first thing he says. Then it becomes, I'm not racist, you're racist. You know, that sort of thing.
Right.
So, and he'll also, he's going, you know, I think yesterday he tweeted out a video that showed that Elijah Cummings once described a neighborhood as drug infested in Baltimore, you know, sort of thing. See, I'm just, you know, so I think he is going to dabble in it tonight. And if he does, that could, you know, there's a lot of gasoline out there. It doesn't take much to light that fire again. Let me just say this about Baltimore. Baltimore to me is one of these, you know, the best part of Baltimore when you visit, it's one of these cities that still has great ethnic neighborhoods.
Yep, no question.
You can get, you know, a Little Italy or a Greek town, and you can get sort of like some great ethnic food. It's sort of old school. It has that, what you know, hear about in the old, you know, of the Phillies and the New Yorks and all that stuff. Baltimore is sort of lost of the Eastern Seaboard cities. You know, it's sort of like, here's this one of these great founding cities of this country that hasn't had its comeback, right? Philly's had a comeback. New York's had a comeback. D.C.'s had a comeback. You know, up and down the Eastern Seaboard, the port cities have all sort of revitalized except Baltimore. So it is a frustrating thing as somebody, you know, Baltimore, it's sort of like a sibling to D.C. You know, we're sort of one mega area, probably sort of. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like it's a real bummer the bad leadership the city has had. But the leadership issue with the city is in city politics. It's not the best leaders have all been on the state level or on the congressional level in that city. So it is a real unfair hit on Elijah Cummings.
Yeah, and you don't have the president of the United States stand up and rip an American city the way he did, the way he's done to Chicago, the way he's done to other places.
I don't understand why he attacks fellow Americans so easily.
Right.
And why this is so tolerated by the American public. It is that the President of the United States, I mean, we would be shocked if the president of another country trashed his own country, right? It would be, this president trashes a fellow American and parts of this country. I mean, he really has made it clear he's the president only of his people. He does not believe he's the president of the United States of America. He's the president of people that agree with him.
That's it.
And it's tragic.
Pat Brady, before Chuck runs, you got a question?
Yeah, Chuck, I was looking at the electoral map last night. It seems like this race, months from now, is just going to come down to a really even a smaller handful of states. Do you think that still holds?
You know, it's funny you say that. I think it's five states max.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I mean, I think it's the three industrial states there, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and then it's Arizona and Florida. I think those are your five closest states.
And Arizona's in play, right, with the Senate race?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Arizona and Florida are full-fledged. They're number four and five, you know, type of thing. They're four and five on the list. I think, you know, and frankly, I think Pennsylvania is not as going to be not as competitive as the other two, as Michigan, Wisconsin. I mean, they're going to be competitive, but if I were to rate them, Wisconsin in particular, I think you're going to be on a nice edge. Michigan is tight, but Arizona and Florida too. But then after that, like, there'll be some other competitive states like North Carolina, perhaps, and Iowa, Minnesota, and Nevada, but they all feel like another level down from those five. I think you're right. I think it's more narrow. Even more narrow than we realize of the battleground state.
That's why Biden's answer last night when he talked about what the Obama administration did for Michigan and Detroit to me was so compelling.
Oh my God, that was his best, one of his better moments, underrated moments. Because you're right, he went. He was a reminder of how good he is at the parochial. He's good at that kind of politics.
Yep.
What have I done for you here in Michigan? That's when Biden. That's the old school Biden.
Yep.
That still works.
Yeah, that's what fires him up. The Nationals, you happy with what they did at the trade deadline?
You know, it's funny. The Nationals, Joe Biden to me, watching Joe Biden at a debate is like watching the Nationals bullpen. It usually performs just good enough to get them to win, keeps them in the playoff race, probably will get in the playoff. And they have all these other great attributes, but you're just like, the bullpen is like Biden's stutter, right? You're just like, oh my God, is it going to collapse? Is it going to collapse? Oh, we got through the inning. Oh, he got through the sentence. Look, more arms are more arms. I wanted one more starting pitcher. I wanted Minor out of the Rangers, but because I'm a little nervous about Scherzer and that back right now. But you know, there's only one team. There's only three teams to me that are going to win the World Series, and it's the three teams that have starting pitching: Houston, Dodgers, and I think the Nats are the only team that can compete with those other two because of their starting pitching.
And you probably meant to throw the Cubs in there for Cub fans.
I think you guys are starter short. I mean, I do. I always thought you guys would go out and get a starter. I think you're a starter short. I mean, at what point is the, John, I still can't figure out how to throw the first base Lester, not going to work for you anymore.
Right? Come on. And why aren't we running on him every single play, every other team in baseball?
They are about
every
to get,
pitch.
They're about to get Hamels back, so that'll help them.
That should help, but I was surprised. I thought the Cubbies were going to go out and get a pitcher. I guess this is Joe Madden's last year, huh? If he doesn't get to the... Is it a World Series? And they fire him, or what?
Well, I'll tell you right now, the fact that they brought in Joe Girardi as a third-string catcher should make everybody a little bit nervous.
I know.
See you on MTP Daily and Meet the Press. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, brother.
That's Chuck Todd right there. Big sports guy, Dave. Big sports guy.
How does he have room in his brain to process... He knows politics, and he knows sports like nobody's business.
He loves football even more.
Yeah.
And college football.
Is he a Packer fan?
He is a Packer fan.
Yeah.
You know, your typical grew-up-in-Miami Packer fan. All right, coming up, Superintendent Eddie Johnson. Two women were gunned down while standing up for Mothers Against Gun Violence. What's the case at, and you know, are there suspects, and what can he tell us about it, and... the carnage continues. All of that coming up. Pat Brady's here, as you heard. We've got an MVPP to come. Trump's calling in the 8 o'clock hour, and Dean's live at Lollapalooza. It's 7 o'clock. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
This is the single most important issue facing the public. And to be very blunt and to be very straightforward, you can't beat President Trump with double talk on this plan.
Your response, Senator Harris?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, Vice President Biden, you're just simply inaccurate in what you're describing. We will ensure that everyone has access to health care. Your plan, by contrast, leaves out almost 10 million Americans. So I think that you should really think about what you're saying, but be reflective and understand that the people of America want access to health care and do not want costs to be their barrier to getting it.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The lack of a cohesive message by the Democrats continues to be their biggest problem, let alone picking a candidate, though America seems to have chosen Joe Biden until further notice. Pat Brady is here, and Pat, nice to see you. Where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies.
What do you do? Is that a slot machine company? What do you do there?
Yeah, slot machines.
Video poker?
I wish. I know.
You advise on politics?
I do lobbying, government affairs, some media consulting, and okay. The other part of it, we do some law.
The situation in Springfield, of course, quiet over the summer, but there's always news of some sort. Is there anything that needs to be reported?
No, the governor rolling out the things that were the result of the last legislative session. Nothing really big. I think more people are focused on, actually not focused on a lot right now, actions seem to be going on in the city.
And in the city, what do you want to highlight, I guess?
Probably the ethics reform that got done last week. I think that was a pretty significant development. I think also a lot of people are talking about, kind of behind the scenes, is what is the Justice Department or the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago up to? It seems like there's slowly but surely been a lot of indictments, a lot of charging. That
feels like more to come.
Yeah, and that's the buzz on the street.
The ethics reform, that doesn't include the aldermen.
Well, it kind of does because it prohibits them from doing business and bumps up against what they do at City Hall.
What?
Yes. So
that's obviously a very positive move. All right. So moving on to what we know or don't know nationally, you were part of the discussion with Chuck Todd last hour. the idea that racism is a Republican strategy. You're a lifetime Republican. Racism being a Republican Party strategy? I mean, you can't even find the words for that.
Yeah, it's unacceptable. And the president chooses that strategy. And as Chuck said, he thinks that that's a winner. But for a lot of Republicans and a lot of independents, and particularly suburban women, it's offensive. The problem is, for the Democrats, I watch both debates, and particularly the Wednesday night debate, and Elizabeth Warren and her policies, taking away my private health insurance, the trillions of dollars she wants to spend on big government programs, if the choice comes down to Elizabeth Warren versus Donald Trump, there are people that are going to vote for Donald Trump because Elizabeth Warren is so far removed from reality or so far to the left that you can't vote for.
Well, and there will be people that will stay home. If the Democrats pick the wrong candidate, somebody that they can't support, they will stay home. We know 100 million people didn't vote last time. We know the majority of those people by far were Democrats who thought Hillary Clinton had it in the bag. There were, 72,000 votes total that swung the Electoral College?
Yeah, which has happened in previous elections. But as Chuck mentioned in the previous hour, it comes down to these five states, and particularly Michigan and Wisconsin. And does Elizabeth Warren excite the African-American voters in the Democratic side enough to come out and vote? Or is it a Joe Biden? He's hugely popular in the African American community and the Democratic side. So I think they'd come out for him, but with her, I'm not sure if she has the same draw. I mean, it was crazy talk on Wednesday night, some of the policies they were, she and Senator Sanders.
Well, and as we discussed yesterday, I don't remember, I guess it was Rick Pearson, the truth of a presidential campaign was never more evident than in 2016. And that is, you can make all the promises you want. Unless Congress is swung in your favor and you have an ability to work with Congress, nothing's going to get done. So Mexico's not paying for the wall, and you are not going to eliminate private insurance. It cannot happen. It will not happen. Congress won't vote for it.
Yeah, but that's true. But the reality is, in a presidential campaign, people vote on those promises, whether or not they become reality or not.
But if everybody says it, then they have to make a choice among it.
There are Democrats that are not saying that.
No, but my point is, if you have a candidate that stands up and says, it's not just the presidency, we have to find a way to work with Congress. We have to have people in Congress as well. We need everybody to show up to vote for this party or that party. I think the public's smarter than we give them credit for, at least some of them, and people are sick of being lied to. I think that's why you had 8 million people watching the thing instead of 18 or 28.
Yeah, I agree that people are sick of being lied to. I'm not sure if I've ever seen running on a ticket of we're going to take back both houses and the presidency. I think it's much simpler. People vote on much simpler or more important issues to them.
Well, then how about this as a platform? Here's what I hope to do, but I need your help to get elected, and I need your help to make sure that we can work with Congress, not treat Congress, like your whatever your analogy would be.
Well, they do that on the micro level. When they're doing appearances in places throughout the country, they do make that argument that you need to also elect Congressperson X and to help me get my agenda done. But I'm not sure if that works in these debates where you need to state that it's got to be me and the rest of Congress.
Barack Obama, history may remember Obama as a tremendously successful president. I think he certainly had some accomplishments. I would not rank him as one of the all-time great presidents. And I think he made a mistake of too many times being president of the Democrats, not president of the United States of America. Trump is so far off the dock, you can't even, throw him a lifeline. But what's the upside for Democrats on ripping Barack Obama last night? Don't they make Joe Biden stronger?
Yeah, he has President Obama has a 95% approval rating amongst Democrats. So I don't get the upside of trashing President Obama, particularly in states like Michigan, where the Democrats, that administration, did a lot for the state of Michigan and the city of Detroit. To me, it's a short-term strategy. A lot of this is short-term strategy, and that's back to my argument on the Wednesday night debate. Elizabeth Warren, who's challenged by Congressman Delaney that nobody's heard of on her health care plan, fires back at him, oh, you're just not man enough to want to push big ideas. But in her idea, the only idea that's a big idea is a big government idea. Delaney had a big idea himself on how to reform health care, but to her whole line is just more government, more big government, and more spending. And I'm not sure if that works anymore in national politics.
Well, it's hard for the Democrats to keep up with the Republicans in spending right now. The Republicans are spending so much money, it's really impossible to catch
them. $1 trillion deficit. That's year over year to add to the almost $21 trillion debt. And that's been my position on Trump all along. He's not a conservative. This is not how conservatives are supposed to govern.
He's not a Republican.
I'm not sure what he is, but again, if you put up Elizabeth Warren, and there's nobody that's been more critical of a president than me, at least from this microphone, I could not, in good conscience, vote for somebody like Elizabeth Warren. I think that her policies are just...
But see, that drives you, and you know how I feel about both parties, so that drives you, as a lifetime Republican, into a category where you go, I can't vote for Elizabeth Warren, I'm certainly not going to vote for Donald Trump. So you're going to vote, so then you come into the same thing we talked about in 2016. You don't vote for president on the ballot, or you vote for a third-party candidate if there is one.
Yeah, that's what I did. I voted for Jill Stein.
Right. MVPP coming up, more with Pat Brady and Eddie Johnson on the way shortly as well, the police superintendent.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The most valuable person on the planet.
Chris Baker's a good guy. He's been on this show before. He helped remove tattoos from my brother. My brother, who I've talked about many times on the show, Mickey, special needs. And he wants other people with special needs to know he has special needs. And talk about the things he's gone through, which is why I bring him up so often. But one of the things he had were tattoos he had gotten when he was drinking and when he was abusing. Chris helped remove those. Well, in the conversations I had with Chris, I also found out that Chris does something else as a nonprofit part of his tattoo business, which I wanted to highlight again this morning on the MVPP. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
How you been, man?
Really good. Really good.
You know, my daughter bought a house not too far from you, so I drive by your place fairly regularly, and I've been meaning to stop in. I think I may surprise you at some point.
Please do. I'd love to see you.
Human trafficking. We've spent some time talking about it this week. There's more focus on it. There's this stunned nature we all have and how much of it goes on, including here in Chicago. What is this nonprofit part of your business that you do to try to help?
When we started Inc. 180 back in 2011, we started it really just to provide free gang tattoo removal for people that were trying to change their lives. And through a chance meeting with Homeland Security, I was educated about the world of human trafficking in our community, and it stunned me like it stuns everybody else when I talk about it. I couldn't believe that happened here, and they brought that life to reality for me that day.
So these kids who are trafficked are branded.
Yeah, a lot of times they're, you know, a lot of people when they think branding, they think like cattle with a hot iron. It's a tattoo. It's not actually branded, but it's referred to as that. But yeah, you know, a lot of these pimps and traffickers will mark their victims as property. You know, we see everything from barcode tattoos to pimps' names to gang symbols, because unfortunately the gangs have been very well versed in trafficking for a while and have led to its explosion in this country.
So if you're trafficked, obviously you want this mark removed as you try to retake your life back. But there's also the gang member piece of this, which you just mentioned, that if you're no longer in a gang and you're trying to live life right, you want that removed as well. So how do these people come to you?
Well, in a lot of different ways. You know, the sex trafficking survivors come to me mostly through federal law enforcement and safe houses that they're working with or other organizations. On the gang side of things, I get referrals from people in a variety of different ways, just word of mouth, working with police officers. You know, I've been trying to work with Chicago city government for the last 5 years to build a bridge between the police and the community to offer this free service when, you know, they pull people over and they have a teardrop under their eye or a crown over their eyebrow. And, you know, the police, their heart rate goes through the roof because they don't know what they're dealing with at that point. Just trying to equip Chicago police with my business cards to offer a bridge and say, hey, man, if you're really out of that life, here's a guy who will help you get rid of it for free so you can move forward.
Is it hard to get rid of a tattoo?
It's a process. It's not hard. I've been doing it now for 8 years. We use a product called Tattoo Vanish. It's a non-laser product, so it's a lot healthier for you and a lot better option. It generally will take us between 5 and 10 sessions to completely remove the tattoo.
Yeah, I mean, I witnessed it with the work you're doing with my brother and saw the beginning of that effect. Listen, you're a good man, and I appreciate what you do, and I wanted to make sure people know about it. Of course, you could also get a tattoo or have one you'd like removed by getting a hold of Chris as well. How do we find you at Ink 180?
So you can get a hold of us on our website at ink180.com. Or give us a call, 630-554-1404. We're located down Oswego, southwest suburbs, and we'd love to help you out.
And remember, the goal of the Ink 180 Ministry is to join forces with other tattoo artists and dermatology groups around the country for free tattoo cover-ups and removals, and that mission continues. Chris, thanks for being on.
Thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate it.
There you go. Most valuable person on the planet, and he's modest about it. Superintendent Eddie Johnson coming up. We'll get to the news next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
7:39, Superintendent Eddie Johnson's here, and as always, Superintendent, we appreciate your time. Especially coming up on this weekend, I guess you're a huge Lollapalooza fan.
I could do without it, but a lot of folks love it. So, you know, we'll continue doing it.
It's great for the city's business. It's great for the city, I think, in an image-wise, especially the younger set of the population. But this is a big challenge.
It is. You know, it always involves a huge security risk. But what I can tell you, Steve, is that, you know, we'll have a ton of resources out there. A lot of them you'll see a huge uniform presence. But what you won't see is the significant number of undercover assets we'll have out there in the crowd. So, and we'll also have people up above taking a look at what's going on the ground.
Well, let's talk about reality for a second, because you got kids, you got underage drinking that just goes on nonstop.
Yes.
There's a realistic thing that the police can do, and there's an unrealistic thing that police can do. If your 16-year-old goes down and gets drunk at Lollapalooza, it's not the city of Chicago's fault or the Chicago Police Department to round your kid up, let them throw up till they're healthy, and then call you and get them home. So what do you do to take care of that part of the problem?
So when we have, you know, of course, like you said, there's a lot of drinking that goes on, you know, out there. So we have special police officers dedicated to that type of thing. But, you know, our main focus of course is the security of it, but like you said, you know, it's not our job to round up these young underage drinkers who are out there getting sick, but we do address it.
Do you have to prioritize the criminal activity? In other words, obviously violence comes number one and danger to a crowd. But what comes down after that? I mean, do you just you contraband or what?
Yeah, well, yeah, we focus on violent crime, of course, first, but then theft, because there's a lot of theft that goes on in large venues like that. You know, the drug usage is always an issue, you know, so there's a litany of things that we have to look at. But number one, our number one priority is the safety of the people.
What about just the mechanics of getting your folks in and out of there?
Yeah, you know, like I said, Steve, you know, Lollapalooza doesn't sneak up on us, so we spend money preparing for this. You know, we'll have CTA assets out there that help us transport police officers if necessary, and then we'll have our larger vehicles out there as well.
And because it's outdoors, it's not an area that's completely controllable, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no such thing as guaranteed 100% security, you know, but the trick is to be as nimble as we can be and be ready for any situation in the event that it does occur.
The fact that we're not going to have thunderstorms and tornado-like weather rolling in, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, that's a good thing, you know, because you don't want to have to disperse a large crowd like that at a moment's notice. But technology has gotten to the point now where we do have get a really good head start if we do have to evacuate.
All right, so you got parents and grandparents right now are listening, and they're petrified because their teenagers are coming downtown, and they're going to go to Lollapalooza. What do you want them to tell the kids?
So what I want you to tell them is to be responsible, enjoy yourselves, but don't become part of the problem. You know, be responsible in everything that you do out there, and it should be a safe event for everyone.
And if somebody sees something going on in the crowd, they can tell a cop?
That's exactly right. You'll have a large number of uniformed police officers out there, and they will not be that far from you. So if you see something suspicious, tap one of them on the shoulder.
Earlier this week, we had a horrible story, and you live with this stuff every day. But this made national news again because Chantel Grant and Andrea Stoudemire, who are part of this Mothers Against Senseless Killings group, just shot and killed. A drive-by. Do we know if they were the targets?
No, they were unintended targets. They just happened to be out there. As a matter of fact, one of the young ladies, unfortunately, was about a half a block away when she got shot. You know, but it just underscores the need for a culture, a mental culture of accountability in this city in terms of gun violence. You know, we have too many guns out here. You know, we look at the fact that the Chicago police have recovered over 5,000 illegal handguns so far this year, or weapons. That's ridiculous. You know,
right.
But that goes to illustrate the obvious that we have too many guns in this city. You know, so we that's why I push so hard for common sense gun legislation. You know, I'm not looking to take guns away from people that can legally own them. It's the illegal weapons out here that are hurting us.
So when people go, criminals get guns. Criminals get guns, and they're going to get them if they want them, and you're not going to be able to stop them. What do you say?
What I say to that is that's not entirely true. They do get guns, and we keep putting them in jail, you know, and we'll continue to do that until we get the point across that carrying a handgun, because let me tell you this, Steve. People assume the first act of the violent crime is when they pull the trigger. No, the first act of it is actually picking up that gun. If you didn't have that gun, then you couldn't pull the trigger. So we look at all the pieces of that puzzle, and we'll keep locking them up until we get that point across that we won't tolerate that.
And we need politicians to do their jobs, and we need the court system to not just turn these folks back on the street.
Yeah, you know, it's not about placing blame. It's about figuring out together the entire judicial system, from the judges, the prosecutors, the police, how we can all be better partners in this fight in terms of reducing gun violence.
And in the case of these two women, I was under the impression, I should say, that there were certain areas that gangs considered off limits.
You know what, Steve, years ago, I would say that was true. But these days, these younger people that are affiliated with gangs, they just don't care. They really don't. And that was an unfortunate and horrible incident that, you know, quite frankly, we should try to avoid. But the reality is, you know, we have people out there willing to first pick up the gun and second to use it.
A lot of frustration in the public. A lot of people going, I can't believe this can't be stopped. I'm sure you'd be open to the first person with a solution to fix the whole thing, huh?
Yeah, because, you know, crime is a complex issue, you know, and, you know, we saturate certain areas with police officers, of course. But at the end of the day, you have to treat the root causes of violence, you know, and that's how you really attack it, because public safety is not just the responsibility of the police. It's all of our responsibility.
What's the morale like in dealing with this?
You know, cops get frustrated when they lock up a guy for a gun offense, and then 2 or 3 days later, they see that same guy back out there on the street with another weapon. You know, so it's a little frustrating for them, but we'll just keep chipping at that rock and keep talking to our partners and try to make it a better system.
Pat Brady.
Superintendent, root causes of crime, a lot of it's the money element. Is the legalization of marijuana in the state going to have an impact on what gang activity?
You know what? I think what's going to happen, because I've talked to police chiefs around the country that have legalized marijuana now, and what they've told me is that it didn't drive out the illegal part of it. You know, they just keep the prices down under the legal prices so they can continue business. So we'll see how that goes. We're going to do everything we can, of course, to make that a non-issue, but we'll see.
What about this hazardous driving piece of this, where you have no way to measure if somebody's impaired?
Yeah, that's an issue. So what I've discovered from chiefs in those jurisdictions, the field sobriety tests are holding up in court. So until
the walk and turn and all that
right,
stuff.
Right, exactly. So until technology catches up where we can actually administer a test out in the field, we'll just have to use the field sobriety.
You know, your typical run-of-the-mill drunk isn't going to be as interested in a can of Pringles as a guy high on weed. So maybe have Pringles in the car, give him the Pringles. Pringles test, throw them down on the line. If they can walk straight to the Pringles,
White Castles are probable cause. Right?
You know what? That's a great idea. We might try that.
I'm an idea guy. You know what I'm saying? Superintendent Eddie Johnson is here, and we don't have all morning with you, but we do have a few minutes. So what do you need from the city to help change your world in a positive way? And are you getting everything you need?
Yeah, you know, the mayor has been very accommodating, and we've had really good conversations of what we need, the resources we need to provide to the cops out on the street to make their jobs better. So I'm very encouraged by that. You know, we've had conversation about the police and fire training academy. So that's been good conversation. But what we really need is to address, again, you know, the economic issues in some of these challenging areas, mental health issues that we absolutely have to address. You know, things of that nature will go a long way to helping us with this crime fight.
The DOJ consent decree, what's the status of that with your guys?
So we're moving right along with it. The rank and file really don't have to deal with it as much as as management does. You know, so it impacts me a whole lot more than it impacts them. So listen, my attitude is about the consent decree is this. You know, I don't mind another set of eyes looking at what we do, because all that does is make us better. And to be quite honest with you, there were some things in CPD we needed to change and get right. So at the end of the day, when we get done with it, we'll come out on the other side a better department.
And to bring it back to these two women who were tragically killed, as an organization, I've heard mixed thoughts about whether or not the police department can work with organizations like that. What's the status of that? Like when a group says, we're going to sit on a corner and we're going to watch this.
Yeah.
Can they be affiliated with the police?
Yeah, we work hand in hand with a lot of community organizations. You know, there's one that comes to mind right off the bat, Purpose Over Pain. And what we do is we send detectives out with them weekly to go out and pass out flyers about cold cases, you know, mothers that have lost children. So we work well with a lot of these organizations, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't continue.
As your summer rolls along here, beyond Lollapalooza, what's next on the agenda?
You know, when I was a deputy chief of Area Center, I always plotted out my year by St. Patty's Day Parade in the beginning of the year and the Mickey Mouse Parade in November. You know, because I knew I was going to be busy until Mickey Mouse.
Those are the bookends.
Yep. Until Mickey Mouse walked down Michigan Avenue, I knew I was going to be busy. You know, so I think we have the Air and Water show after this. But we'll keep chipping at it.
How are we doing on folks coming to the academy? Are there folks that want to be cops in the same numbers they used to want to be cops?
Yeah, you know, despite what's going on nationally here in Chicago, knock on wood, we haven't had a problem with recruitment. Our minority recruitment has increased. A lot of Hispanics coming on the job. You know, we're still struggling a little bit with the black population coming on the job. But that's some, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. Trust is one of those issues. And that's why it's important that we go in those communities and build those relationships.
Yeah, and it's not just the violence issue. It's the overall safety of everybody because, you know, we say it all the time here.
Yep.
99% of any community wants the same thing.
That's
I don't care
exactly
if you're rich
right.
folks, poor folks, or anything in between. But there's a responsibility in the communities to do what they can to self-police and make sure they're okay. The west part of the city, where there's lots of trouble in various neighborhoods, takes a lot of grief about that.
It does. And the sad part about it is the majority of folks that live in those communities want peace in their community.
And they're doing the right thing.
They are. And they want the police over there. They just want the police to be respectful and treat them fairly. But they don't like that criminal element in their neighborhoods. And they do work with us on a lot of occasions to try to eradicate those problem issues.
Pat?
No, I'm just thrilled like to tell my Lollapalooza going kids that I just talked to the police superintendent.
and tell them to enjoy themselves, but be responsible.
Well, if they're not, you have my permission to throw them in the paddy wagon. Take them for a trip.
Wouldn't it be great if there was like the traditional paddy wagon, you know, that you see? Wouldn't it be nice if you could wrap it up in a 60-minute piece like everything on TV?
Yeah, we can't do that stuff anymore.
All right. And since I'm always interested in finding young folks who want to do the right thing and help everybody else, there's a lot of folks out there who don't know if they want to be cops. Maybe they do. So what inspired you back in the day?
You know what? When we had a family friend that was horribly murdered, and it made me think about what I could do to make things better in this city. So I think the people that come on the department, they have a real sense of public safety and serving the public. So, you know, I always tell people this, you know, they say to me, you know, why don't I see more cops in my community that look like me? Well, I can't do that. You have to do that. You can't just talk about change. You have to be willing to be part of it.
And when it comes to Ms. Grant and Ms. Stoudemire, are you going to get them?
Yeah, oh yeah, we have some really promising leads. But again, if anybody out there has any information, no matter how small you might think it would be, please come forward with it.
And I would think in the folks in Inglewood in particular, this would enrage them to the point where you have less of that no snitch policy and other things that have held back the movement on these stories.
Yeah, we have really good information right now. So I am encouraged that we will bring this to a reasonable conclusion.
No, you got to run. Thank you, as always, for the access.
Thank you.
Stay safe.
I will.
And I look forward to seeing you in a Lollapalooza t-shirt with your hands up for an encore. Mickey Mouse Parade. 7:52.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Pat Brady's here. Last couple of minutes here, Pat. What else was on your mind? There was something we brought up off the air that you were going to bring up.
Well, first of all, I want to bring up what a real deal public servant the superintendent
is. He's a cop.
He is a cop.
He's a cop, man.
Even talking off... off the air about what's going on. Just a great pleasure to talk to him.
Yeah. Well, what a great line, too. From the St. Patrick's Parade to Mickey Mouse. sorry to find my ear.
He kind of looked at me on that St. Patrick's Day parade like, you're people, idiot.
Yeah,
what starts it off.
We got a lot of Bradys we pick up that day.
Oh, you noticed that too, Pat?
Yeah, that's what a paddy wagon is, right?
That's for you Pat Brady types. What's on the agenda for the next couple of days into next week politically that I'm missing?
It kind of slows down a little bit politically. The state fair draws a lot of attention. They have Governor's Day, then you'll have Republican Day, and it kind of informally kicks off the campaign season for 2020.
And just so you know, we are efforting J.D. Pritzker. We're efforting Lori Lightfoot. They both said they would be on the show during the campaign with regularity. Neither one have. And as Eddie Johnson has shown, and Rahm Emanuel before that. You come in here, we'll ask you questions. You'll get to, speak up to you, whatever you want to address. And it's a good relationship. But Pritzker's people and Lori Lightfoot's people, they need to step up. But anyway, thank you for being here.
Anytime, Steve.
Well, not anytime. We'll come back with the news next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah,
More on entertainment goes live to Grant Park, and Lollapalooza is sponsored by Ravinia. Oh, it's your favorite day of the year, you little moron.
You know what? It's not terrible out here today. It's extremely pleasant outside.
Beautiful day today. You haven't even had the decency to have that flop sweat going where you hate being you.
Normally, that's very true. Usually, by this time in the morning on the first day of Lollapalooza, it's about 95 degrees and 99% humidity. As I have been designated the sweatiest person my trainer has ever seen in her life, it's not pretty. Normally, it's not pretty, but there's a lovely cool breeze off the lake. It's sunny, but we're in a shaded area right now. And it couldn't be more pleasant. I'm on the south end of Grant Park, roughly at about Balbo, I guess, where the T-Mobile stage is set up. And this is the stage where Childish Gambino will perform tomorrow, and Ariana Grande and Janelle Monáe, and the Strokes will be performing tonight. They're one of the main stage headliners, along with the Chainsmokers, for tonight. So yeah, they're getting set. Steve, I can give you this exclusive as we're out here. I mean, the Lollapalooza grounds, you know, they're just getting things ready right now, but I can report to you exclusively that the Lollapalooza people are putting down a layer of mulch.
Oh, good.
Just outside of the T-Mobile stage.
By the way, that's a band I was in, A Layer of Mulch.
The grounds don't seem to be wet at all. I don't know why they're putting the mulch down, except to put this really disgusting smell into the air.
At first, I
thought they were putting manure down for the kids, coming to the park.
Nice.
But I'm assured that it's mulch, and it stinks.
So a lot of the information you have comes from producers, but I know when it comes to the Lollapalooza folks, you get it from a lot of areas, along with obviously your own research work, knowledge of the thing, because as a professional, you get in there and you get after it. And that's why people like the Dean Richards. But I couldn't help but notice your tweet in the last couple of hours. If I could just read from your tweet. Chicago's best radio personalities join me
what?
With their Lollapalooza 2019 recommendations. And I thought, well, I'm not going to be going by.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
Well, let me just share with folks, Fred and Angie. Now, Angie, I love Angie. Angie's tremendous. She's actually a fan of the show.
Not so much Fred?
I don't know Fred. I hear good things about Fred. I don't know. Are you a big Frankie Robb fan from the Midday Party on GCI?
Well, I am now.
And Mary Dixon. Mary Dixon's great on XRT. I mean, these are Chicago's best radio personalities. And where would you have found anyone else?
If I could have tried to find one more, there is no possible way there could have been anyone else. I should have put music radio personality. That's what I should have put.
One word would have prevented me from giving you the heat here. One little word.
Yeah, I don't blame you. As I hit the send button, I thought, I should have changed it. Steve's going to bring this up.
And by the way, as an old disc jockey, and I do mean old, and a fellow old disc jockey, and you, I thought we had a disc jockey brotherhood here, you know, and all the bands I've been
in. Plus, yeah, you've been in bands. How many of them have been in bands?
Now, again, the simple mistake made here is this. Invite me. That's all. Just invite me. Obviously, in this case, not only would I not have come, I couldn't have come. I'm here. I'm on a show.
This was my fear that if I had asked for your recommendation for this year's Lollapalooza, Barry Manilow's not here this year. So I know your number one recommendation wouldn't, Helen Reddy, yes, not showing up.
Yeah, Vicki Lawrence during the night.
The night the light went down in Georgia has been played out. That's not going to be.
How about Anne Murray? Come on.
Anne Murray, Snowbird, not there.
The queen of despair, Anne Murray.
So anyway, I'm glad you had one of your best radio personalities in Chicago. By the way, Fred Winston is hot.
The best music radio personality, because they play. They don't. I don't think they could handle just talking and doing a show without the crutch of playing music. What do they talk, like 20 seconds an hour?
Maybe.
Something like that.
Maybe. I tell you, there's a lot of people in this audience who wished I talked 20 seconds an hour.
Let them sit there and try to do a radio show without the crutch of music, of an Ariana Grande song. To go to, but they are for music radio, they are some of the most respected, and that's why we were included. And when that big talk show fest comes here to Grant Park,
wait, are you talking about Talkapalooza?
Yeah, when Talkapalooza comes to Chicago and they close down Grant Park, you are going to be my number one on that one.
Yeah, well, try to get that by your producers. Frankie Robinson, by the way, I want to get a plug-in for Frankie Robinson on GCI. I'm reading from her Twitter page. One of the baddest females in radio, always promoting a constant grind and constantly murdering the airwaves.
Yeah, that's right. She is. Woo! Don't
hashtag,
forget to shot that eye, Steve.
Hashtag the midday party goes down Monday to Friday, 10 to 2 on GCI.
I'm going to give you a little inside story. We had to recut some of her interview because somehow she got lipstick on her teeth, and we had to stop. And that wouldn't have happened. Had I come to you,
that wouldn't
there would
happen.
Have been no lipstick debacle.
No, that wouldn't happen because, as you know, I work makeup free. So. All right, can you hang around and give us some show business news in a second? I know it's crazy there with sod being moved and mulch being put down, but if you have a couple show business stories, that'd be great.
That would be fine.
All right, stand by. That's my fellow moron, Dean Richards.
You ever heard him tap dance so much?
Well, again, the funny thing is, if he had put music personalities in there, I had nothing. Nothing. But best
but
radio personalities.
You were in bands.
But I'm not a music DJ. Haven't been
That's
in
true.
Years.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel bad that Eric couldn't make it. Eric, what's his name? Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
Just again, for all of my celebrity friends, whatever you have going on, just invite me. I promise I won't show up. There's almost no likelihood I'll show up for anything I'm invited to.
Yeah, he means it.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainer.
More on entertainment, sponsored by Ravinia. We go back to Dean. Would you like to play a round of Lollapalooza Band or a band I was in?
Oh, I would love that.
Here's one that I think is a difficult one because, well, their music is highly recognized. Marshall Dillon and the Horse Faces.
I believe that is a Lollapalooza band.
Marsha Dillon and the Horse Faces. Dave?
Yeah, Lollapalooza band.
Mary? Mary Vandeville?
Lala.
Steve?
I'm going to say that's a band you were in. Yeah.
Joe?
I'm going to say Lala.
Grzanich wins again.
Wow.
Marshall nice. Dillon and the Horse Faces. I was in it. I was kicked out and replaced by Jessica Jessica Parker.
Would have been so great if I could have reached for that earlier.
I'm sorry, what?
I say, would you like to get the opinions of some of Chicago's best radio personalities on the next round?
You know, the only thing missing from that tweet was, it's not what it appears to be. All right, what's the biggest show business story today?
Probably the death of one of the most legendary names ever in the history of the American stage. Hal Prince died yesterday. He was a director, a producer. He brought us things like West Side Story and Phantom of the Opera and Evita and Sweeney Todd. And the list goes on and on and on of the amazing works that he was behind. He was a 21-time Tony Award winner. I met him when he was here in Chicago. You probably remember this, Steve, when Carol Burnett did that autobiographical show.
Yeah, I was there.
At the Goodman Theater. I thought that I remembered you being at the opening night where Carol Burnett was there, and Tim Conway and Florence Henderson. I mean, all of Carol Burnett's friends were there. But that was it was called Hollywood Arms, and it was directed by Hal Prince. He went on also to direct another musical at the Goodman Theater about a year later. But, you know, there may be no one more influential in the last 100 years in American musical theater than Hal Prince. He was 91 years old, had a short illness, died in Reykjavik, Iceland. Very nice man, and no question his influence on American theater.
Texter says, know the difference between you two and all the other revered broadcasters. They're not morons. Well, that's our point. That's our point exactly. So many of them wanted to.
I've been talking to the Lollapalooza people here about launching. I don't know if we can do it this year, but maybe next year, more on Palooza.
Where nobody knows where it is.
Yeah, well, it's we have this big festival, but we don't tell anybody who's performing.
Right.
We don't tell anybody where it is. You know, just about every moronic decision that could possibly be made, we do. And the Lollapalooza people, I don't know. They only answered really with an eye gesture that I'm taking as we are 100% behind your idea.
And you're right. I mean, there's no question you're right. All right, what else in show business?
The other really big story is Mario Lopez taking a lot of heat for a statement that he made in which he said that parents should not be supportive of their transgender children. The social media came down on like a ton of bricks after that, and he has apologized for it. He said that his remarks were insensitive and uninformed, and that he will think more carefully before speaking next time.
Look, I like Mario. He's a great guy, frankly. And he's a pretty savvy broadcaster. That's a weird mistake for him to make. I mean, even if he truly believes that, and sometimes social media is like drunk talk. You know, you say what you really think when you're drunk because your guard is down. You say what you really think on social media when you hit send sometimes. So I don't know how much good the apology is going to do. That was just a very weird thing coming from him.
It was very weird. I've interviewed him several times. I've been around many times. You know, when we interview the celebrities in New York or L.A., he's frequently there. He's seemingly a very, very, very nice guy. So it was a very uncharacteristic comment. I was surprised. But the fact that he's, you know, so readily apologizing and not trying to rationalize in any way, or I misspoke, or I was misunderstood with what I said, he's just simply copying to the fact that he made a mistake, and you know, people make mistakes, and you know, he's moving on from there.
Yeah, and like I said, I like him. I've always liked him, so we'll see where it goes from here. By the way, was he there with the Chicago's best radio personalities and you this morning, or was he not able to?
Well,
make
he's not a radio personality, so I couldn't put him in that. But since you brought this subject up, Felicia Middlebrooks has contacted me and wondering why the hell I didn't include her, because she would have liked to have given me her recommendations on the eights I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, that's the only time she really does anything is on the 8s.
Yeah, so she's contacted me, and some guy from All Things Considered has also said that he would like to be considered with it. And I again, it's my fault. I didn't put music personalities. Right. I should have put that. So now I'm hearing from, wait a minute, I'm hearing from the guy that does the Hellenic Hour Greek show on Sunday afternoon. He would like to now be in. Wow. See, this is just my fault for not being more specific.
You should change your Twitter account immediately. Steve Dale's 2 seconds from hitting send.
That's right. The Lollapalooza artists and their pets. That's the one angle we have not heard so far.
So, all right. Well, enjoy your day out there. I know you're out there till Sunday.
I cannot wait to give you the full report. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning and give you the latest.
There you go. That's at Dean Richards. Don't miss a minute of Dean Richards' active Twitter account promoting other radio stations. look, I love him. You know that.
Yes.
But if I had sent that tweet out, if I said I'm having Chicago's best morning television personalities on, he would have done the exact same thing. And by the way, I would have thought less of him if he didn't.
And I think he knew it as soon as you...
That's why I enjoyed it so much.
I know.
Yeah, Steve. You know, back to the Mario Lopez story.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the parts of the story that you guys missed that I think is important to add is he made these comments in a podcast with Candace Owens, who's this right wing conservative commentator in that podcast. And so you have to wonder, you know, how much did she egg him on to maybe say something that he wasn't comfortable saying? That's one of the only explanations I can think for.
Yeah, I can't think of why I would either. Right. And a lot of people are texting in saying he was talking about kids being 3 and 4 and they shouldn't be making that kind of decision at 3 and 4. That's not what I'm talking about. We don't live in a time anymore where you can parse your apology. So I agree with Dean. The apology that he made was good. He should stick to that. He should maybe do some charitable work for the transgender community for you know, if he really wants to bring it home. But there are certain things you say or tweet or text that it's really hard to put back in the bottle.
Yeah, and the part of, you know, the conversation also included some conversations about sexual identity and sexual orientation, and he and Owens were sort of mixing up the two of those, what the meanings of both of those were, and it was just, I listened to part of it and just was just off-putting. The whole thing was off-putting.
Yeah, understandable. 8:31. All right, we need a break. Quick break. We're back with Steve next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Well, if you're in the city, you may have already noticed, but if not, it's worth a trip down, even if you're, say, in another state, another part of the country, flying. And how beautiful the lake looks today. It's unbelievable.
Spectacular.
I remember when we were leaving the Tribune Tower, not everybody felt this way, but I thought, this is a shame. This historic landmark. You know, we got this studio right here on Michigan Avenue. We got people staring in at us all the time. And it was fun. It was a good thing. And I thought, we can't ever replicate this. We can't go to a studio that's going to be, you know, make us feel the way we feel, inspire us. This makes it fun to come to work at some ungodly hour.
It does.
Yours earlier than mine. Because behind me, from the 18th floor at 303, East Wacker, 303 East Wacker, Lake Michigan. To my right, the city and the Chicago River and the Riverwalk. And to my right and off in the distance, I mean, just a flawless view, except for Trump Tower.
Later, loser.
As soon as I said it.
He heard you.
He was listening.
Later, loser.
Yes, good morning, Mr. President. How are you today?
Well, what can I say? It's Shark Week, and Melania is away having brunch with her mother, followed by a day of shopping. So life is good, Cochran. Nice. And I heard the comment about the building.
Yes, yes. I hope you enjoyed it. Big week of TV for you, sir.
Like I said, it's Shark Week. Can you hear me? Is there something wrong? Hey, by the way, did you know that sharks, used to be called danger dolphins?
That's not true.
I bet you didn't know that because you don't do your research.
I do all my research.
It's called show prep.
Listen, I met the Democratic presidential candidates in the debates, not the sharks. Did you watch it?
Yeah, you know, I broke my own rule and watched CNN for more than 5 minutes. what a weak team of moderators, like that dumb Don Lemon.
Oh, boy.
That guy is such a lightweight. If Steve Grzanich could read news update circles around him. And Don Lemon needs some vitamins, maybe some fish oil. He looks like he's only getting omega-1.
No, not two or three?
No.
Okay, what about Dana Bash?
Dana Bash, you know, seriously, she's had more work done than Bette Midler, and that's saying a lot.
See, that's why you're good, because you folded in two insults of women into one answer to a question.
I'm brilliant.
You forgot to mention Jake Tapper.
Yes, Jake Tapper. Where was I? Yeah, the generic store version of Chris Cuomo. And speaking of Cuomo, yeah. What a loser. His dad was governor, his brother's governor, and he's nothing but a talking head on TV. Total underachiever. He's the Stephen Baldwin of Cuomo's, believe me.
You're just filled with analogies this morning. What about the debate itself?
You know, it was hard to keep track. There were so many forgettable guys in it, I thought I was watching the season finale of The Bachelorette.
Do you think any of the candidates can beat Biden?
No. No way. Pocahontas has the voice of a church mouse. Pete Buttigieg is a man-child, hasn't even shaved yet. And Tulsi Gabbard is totally unmemorable.
Who, sir?
See, Mike Pence doesn't even know who the hell she is. Look, none of the Democrats are going to get ahead of Biden. Not because they're not good enough, but because they all want to stand behind him so they can avoid getting a Sleepy Joe back rub, which I think is a smart move.
Just don't think any of that's true. What do you think of Bernie Sanders?
You know what? Whenever Bernie's on TV, I never know if he's about to announce another socialist policy plan or introduce the next spooky story on Tales from the Crypt.
Well, we have a surprise for you this morning, sir. I'm going to pick up the other line here because Senator Sanders, are you there?
Wait, who is that? Excuse me, who is speaking here?
Crazy Bernie.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN in Chicago.
And this is Donald Trump, Bernie. This is a radio interview.
Oh, you mean a talkie?
Yes, the talkie. Good God, somebody give me an Excedrin PM.
Now listen here, Donald. You can make all the jokes you want. Your day of reckoning is coming.
Well, based on your performance last night, I'd say that's still about 5.5 years away. By the way, nice comeback on the Medicare for All bill.
I wrote the damn bill.
Yeah, I heard you the first time you told 10 million people.
Well, we're just out of air reviewing the debates. How do you think the moderate Democrats did the first night? Oh, and by the way, Mr. Sanders, hold on. We've got some prizes for you. The first night, Mr. President, what do you think about Hickenlooper?
Hickenlooper, you know what? I'm pretty sure I got a booster shot for that when I was a kid, so I'm not too worried about the Hickenlooper, but thanks for asking.
How about Kamala Harris last night?
Another strong performance. Watch out for Kamala. You know, I want to hate her, I really do, but do you see how she handles Sleepy Joe during these debates? Oh, man, she had him sweating like he was in a room full of women with unsniffed hair.
All right, let's move on. A recent poll shows that half the country thinks you're a racist. How do you react to that?
Wrong. Fake news, Cochran. Look, I'm one of the top 100 least racist presidents in the history of our country. In the history of our country, top 100. I am not racist. Just ask any of the 15 gardeners we have here at the White House. I bought them all Make America Great Again sombreros, for God's sake.
You gotta have a better defense than that.
Okay, I let Arsenio Hall win Celebrity Apprentice. My favorite Ghostbuster wasn't Bill Murray or Aykroyd. It was the black guy. What's his name?
For the record, Ernie Hudson. What else?
I once had Seal perform at Mar-a-Lago on Easter. I've done so many deals with Don King, the great Don King. We screwed over a lot of people together.
That's your list. That's it?
My favorite blind singer is Ray Charles. No, wait. Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles.
But you have to admit, sir, Ronnie Millsap is very soulful. Personally, I like Andrea Bocelli myself.
You got a point there, Mike. And Bernie. Yeah, go get me a coffee, Mike. Make it black, like my many, many friends.
Yes, my liege.
Cochran, look, I'm so unracist, Cochran. I'm actually having NASA get rid of the horrible term black hole. I'm changing it to African-American because it's the right thing to do.
So, in other words, we'll hear the term African-American hole more often?
That's right.
Listen, sir, I'm afraid we're just about out of time, but boy, what a wang-dang-doodle today. You got your Pence in there. You got your Bernie in there. Maybe you and Bernie can talk more later, but I appreciate you being on. So long, Mr. President.
Well, thank you, but not yet. Thank you, Mr. Cochran. What about the prizes?
He meant me, you old coot.
Who are you calling an old coot? I wrote the damn bill.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Later, loser.
Wow, insanity.
Wow.
Just crazy. That's unbelievable. And to get Bernie Sanders on the phone and no notice like that, that's the kind of power we have.
Yeah.
Nice job, Super Joe. I didn't even know you had Bernie's mobile number.
I'm going to take all the credit for it.
As you should. It's 9:49. Make it 8:49. It's 9:49 if you're listening in the East.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
To ask for help when you see me beside myself. I don't have to explain it, baby. Yeah.
Steve Cochran Show continues. Go to WGNRadio.com/Cochran or use the WGN Radio app to get podcasts of interviews we've done on the air. And you can get the Steve Cochran Extra, the Steve Cochran Everything podcast as well. You can hear Jimmy Buffett, Mac McAnally, Captain Jim Lovell. Our daily MVPP. Who else? Joe, Super Joe, who else should I be plugging from the Everything podcast?
Well, we had lots of great guests leading up to the Blackhawks convention. So we had Coach Colleton, Andrew Shaw on. We had defenseman Connor Murphy. You know, lots of great stuff over there at WGNRadio.com/Cochran.
We have a bizarre twist in a bizarre, awful story. Steve, I don't know how much you've been following the Jeffrey Epstein saga this morning with all the other things you have to do. But Jeffrey Epstein, according to several sources, including the New York Times, wanted to seed the human race with his DNA.
Mm.
Jeffrey Epstein, the wealthy financier accused of sex trafficking and rape of minors, hoped to seed his race with his DNA by impregnating women at his vast New Mexico ranch, where he had hoped to have women brought to him, where he could impregnate them and then send them back out into the population when he was done with them. Epstein, over the years, confided to scientists and others about his scheme. Many have come forward now. Four people in particular closer to Epstein and familiar with his thinking says there's no evidence that any of this came to fruition. What we do know came to fruition was his pedophilia and his abuse of what amounts to children. That's part of, by the way, what makes, what's his name, the attorney, Dershowitz?
Dershowitz, yeah.
Dershowitz, who's been lumped in as one of the potential violators of trust in all of this, by possibly taking advantage of girls himself. Dershowitz has been tweeting out and resending editorials he has written in the past about consent and the age of consent. And that if a woman can commit to an abortion, then she can commit to having sex with someone that's older than 18.
That's not what the law says.
It's absolutely not what the law says. And the fact that Alan Dershowitz is defending it so vociferously now and coming up with alternative laws, well, that doesn't say a lot for his defense. Epstein was charged in July with sex trafficking with girls as young as 14, and he has a whole network of people around him that have backed him up. He showed up injured in court just last week after being found on the floor of his cell in what may have been a self-induced injury. It could also have been something guards were involved with or some other prisoner. We don't really know the full story there. But the Epstein array of people involved who may know about this DNA thing included Stephen Hawking, who he may have consulted at one point.
Yeah, and there are a couple of other Nobel Prize-winning scientists on this list as well. And, you know, my initial thought on all of this is, why didn't any of them come forward before now?
It's just amazing.
It's just, yeah.
And the untold young girls that were abused. There's even theories, and this is mostly popping up in the London tabloids who love American gossip, but there's theories now that Epstein's life is in danger, which no doubt it is in prison. Prisoners notoriously don't tolerate child abusers or don't serve them well in prison. But London tabloids are reporting that his life is in danger because of the very powerful people that are in his little black book, whatever his little black book turns out to be, and the information he has that could destroy them if, in fact, he were to go to court and try to lessen his sentence by bringing up other people's names. You know, his life is exponentially worse than it's ever been, and it's going to get tougher. But there's not enough hell this guy can go through.
It seems pretty obvious that if he's not in some sort of protective custody in prison, that he should be.
Right.
I can't imagine that he's going to be. Is he still out in the general population? Or
no, I believe he's in a protective wing of the particular prison that he's in. But there is a, you know, an hour or so a day where he does mix in some way with the general population. All of that sort of, you know, on the down low. One person who spoke about this story said any funding for Mr. Epstein about his DNA mission was turned down, at least in that case of that particular scientist.
Yeah, and this story did not appear in The Onion, by the way. This is in the New York Times.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and multiple other sources. Again, he wanted to lure women, girls, to his New Mexico ranch, impregnate them, and then send them back out into the population. I mean, you talk about a guy that's just beyond gone. The good news is he's off the street. It's 6, make it 9, make it 8. I'll get it right. 8:58. When did I suddenly lose the ability to tell time?
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, where Steve is next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
.912, you know how much I love golf. You know how much I love what the Evans Scholars do. I'm a proud member of what they call the Par Club and make an annual contribution to try to help things along. And I was looking at their annual report the other day. There's some very generous people, including our own Dr. Kevin Most, who help, you know, pay it forward. Dr. Most and his brother Brad Most both will happily tell you they would not have been able to go to college if not for the Evans Scholar Foundation. So we bring in Vince Pellegrino. And, of course, we want to talk about the BMW. But first, we want to talk about that. How are you, Vince?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. We keep talking about playing golf, but you claim you're busy right now.
I'm very busy. The one thing I did want to ask you, because you're a Par Club member, that means that you shoot par all the time, correct?
Yes, and then I bogey the next hole and double the next, and then I shoot another par. You know, it's a weird thing with me, because beginning of the year, I always threaten to quit because, you know, I'm just playing so awful. I'll come in here and I'll whine to Dave in it and I'll go, I couldn't play worse. It's obviously over. There's no chance.
He really does, Vince.
And then it gets into July and August and I kind of hit my stride, my groove. Now, my groove used to be pretty good. My groove now is I occasionally break 80. That's my groove. But my groove is, you know, makes me feel good about things. And then I get to the end of the year and I'm playing pretty good and then it's over. And then the same cycle repeats next year, so you'd think I'd learn. But for all of us that love golf, we love that the BMW is going to be here. But I think more golfers need to know what you guys do at the Evans Scholars and the Western Golf Association every day.
Well, yeah, it's the sole charity of the BMW Championship, the Evans Scholars Foundation. So since 1930, we've sent over 11,000 kids to college on full tuition and housing scholarships. This year, this fall, actually, we're going to send 1,000 kids in school. We're going to have 1,000 kids in school attending 18 different universities across the country, mainly Big Ten universities, but we branch out to places like Colorado, University of Colorado, and Kansas. And
wasn't there a Boston College in there, a Boston University? I think I saw one of those.
Not yet. But you know, we're on the East Coast a little bit here with Penn State. We're looking to, you know, maybe expand to Maryland or somewhere on the East Coast as well. But it's really a coast to coast scholarship, so it's really a life changing scholarship. I received it myself, and I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today without the scholarship. So it impacts a lot of kids' lives, and with the cost of education these days, it's more valuable than ever.
The idea being that you have an opportunity as a caddy to learn about life. Explain why that matters and how that plays out. That's not just a cliche.
No, it's not. And caddying, you know, regardless of the scholarship, is an incredible summer job. You know, you learn the value of hard work. I mean, you're up every morning, you know, getting to the golf course early. Carrying a bag is tough work. It's tougher, you know, when you're going left and right all day long. And
why you got to bring up? Why you got to bring up me again? Why can't it be about somebody else?
But you meet some very successful people. You learn how to communicate with those successful adults, and you learn the value of a dollar as well, and getting paid, you know, throughout the course of the summer. So it's an incredible summer job. It's and getting the scholarship on top of it is really life changing.
So these kids that end up caddying, they're not all golfers. I mean, some of these kids, they go through the program. They love golf. Maybe they don't. But they develop a respect for the game. And the net benefit here, and I think this is what people need to wrap their heads around, is the doctors, the engineers, the kids get to chase whatever their dream, their individual dream is, and what's possible because they are helped in college where they wouldn't have been able to go.
They get a head start on their career, you know, by coming out of college debt free, being able to choose the path, you know, that they would like to choose, and not having to be worrying about college debt. Maybe, you know, if I want to be a doctor, you know, maybe I go into the field that I really want to because I have less college debt and not necessarily the ones that pay the most.
Right.
You know, it's those kind of things that people don't necessarily think about when they think about the scholarship. But it sets you on the right track for your career and your future. And you know, it's like I said, it's an unbelievable gift that I received and that we give to, you know, 1,000 kids each year.
Yeah, and by the way, you may end up running tournaments on the PGA Tour. Not that Vince would like to give up his job anytime soon, but it can be a lead into a golf career as well.
For sure. And you know, we've got some notable alumni like Sam Allen, who is the CEO of John Deere, who they host their own event on the PGA Tour.
Right.
And, you know, Sam's an incredible supporter of the Evans Scholars Foundation, but, you know, I'm sure it set him on the right path to his career as well.
All right, so let's talk about this tournament. You know my constant harangue. The PGA Tour ought to be in Chicago every single year, not just with the BMW, with a regular tour event. And there's talk about it, but we got 48 events in the Northeast. We got 900 on the West Coast and another 1,000 in Florida. And I'm only slightly exaggerating. This is a great, great, great golf town, golf state, golf area. You know it. I know it. And that's why the BMW is so much fun, because you get to see the top players in the world.
And, you know, we're seeing that right now with our ticket sales, our corporate hospitality support, the volunteerism. We have over 2,000 people volunteering for this year's championship at Medina. You know, the good news is that we're going to be in Chicago again next year at Olympia Field. So that's good. 2 years in a row. We'll see what happens after that. But, you know, this year at Medina, the field is unbelievable. You know, not just the guy who's leading the FedEx Cup points, Brooks Koepka, and the guy right behind him, Rory McIlroy, but yesterday Tiger Woods committed to the championship, so it'll be great to see him back at Medina. He's had a little bit of success here.
Once or twice.
Yeah, a couple PGAs here. It's an incredible golf course. It's looking great right now. If we can hold this weather, you know, for a couple more weeks, I think we'll be in great shape. But the support of the Chicago golf fans have been tremendous. Tickets are still on sale, but, you know, we're filling up in certain areas. So the support's been incredible from the Chicago golf fan, and, you know, it's nice to be here 2 years in a row.
Vince, you mentioned volunteers. Are there still opportunities for volunteers?
You know, we still have a few positions that we need some help with volunteers. It's on our website. You can certainly go and sign up to take on some of the positions that we have left, but not many positions left.
See, I think Steve would be, don't you agree, would be perfect for that? You know, just as one of the marshals out on the course.
I should be the starter. I should be the starter
maybe.
On the first tee.
Yeah.
And I should do it in the accent of the queen.
And now, game number one. By the way, there's something, I don't even know if I can bring this up, but on BMW Media Day, I heard about this, and it was very cool. This could be top secret information, but we're only a couple weeks away from the tournament. If I say the word tiny houses to you, Vince, can I talk about this?
Yeah, for sure. It's really kind of an interesting idea that the club came up with Medina, and it's a hospitality venue. We've turned it into a hospitality. I think all the rage, you know, these days is the tiny house craze, and you see it on HGTV or, you know, DIY Network, where, you know, people are buying these tiny homes that sleep two people, and maybe they're, you know, 200, 300 square feet. We have one on the golf course. We actually just had a group of members purchase it. You know, the idea is that you have hospitality. It's almost like glamping out at the golf course, where you can stay overnight. And we're trying it out this year. We'll see if it catches on for the future.
In the location, I mean, it is right in the middle of the action. So you wake up, and the best golfers in the world on one of the best courses on the planet are right outside
where
the door of your house.
It's on the golf course?
It's on the golf course. I mean, to be outside
the
ropes.
Course. It's on the 14th tee, between 14 and 18. And it's a tiny house, and, you know, they're going to have a patio with Adirondack chairs, and we'll have, you know, a bag game, and then, you know, in
it's
between
a par
your,
five.
Your bag game, you can watch the players tee off on 14th tee. So it's a really cool spot.
Am I right? I've played that course a million times. It's the par five, right?
It's a par five, yeah.
Yeah, the one that goes back uphill.
Yeah, up the hill.
Yeah. It's just a cool idea, and the members that are going to be there are just going to have a blast. You know, it's one of those things, like, I don't know about you, but I watch the tiny house thing, and I see it. I don't watch the show, but when I see it and stuff, I go, I could last in a tiny house about 4 days. How long do you think the tournament is? This is perfect.
It is perfect. We've got a lot of other things going on, though, not to mention a lot for kids to do. Kids are free. You know, we're back in the summertime, being in September for a long time, obviously being in a couple weeks here. Kids are still out of school, so kids are free the entire week. We've got a junior clinic on Tuesday. It's a non-participatory junior clinic. We're going to give away some goodies, and Portillo's is donating some hot dogs and beef sandwiches for us out on Tuesday afternoon on the range, and kids are going to have a great time seeing the professionals do a little clinic for them. You know, so we've got a kids autograph zone. We've got BMW is really doing a great job with some of the things they have. They have a fan challenge where we're bringing in Top Golf Crush, so every fan has an opportunity to win prizes out at the championship. And really, you know, when you're not watching the best 70 players in the world, there's a lot to do outside of that.
Easy parking, off-site shuttles in, I assume.
Yeah, correct. So we've got several options to get to the championship, and whether that's purchase a parking pass over at Stratford Mall, where you're going to get shuttled back over to the championship. It's a short shuttle ride. Uber, you know, Lyft, you can get dropped off at Lake Park High School, which is right across the street. It's a short walk in. So there's a lot of different ways to get to the championship. The train is also a short walk. The
train goes right by there, yeah.
It goes right by there. You can get dropped off there. So plenty of ways to get to the championship. And, you know, it's going to be great. We've got multiple entrances to get onto the site, and it's going to be just an incredible show.
Last time Rory McIlroy was at Medina, he had to have a police escort to make his tee time. Have you talked to him about his timing?
I've heard about that. I will make sure he's on the right time. And for his tee time, we'll give him a little bit of a reminder. But that was the Ryder Cup in 12, which was another fantastic event. That I think the USA came up a little bit short in that one.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that. Every putt went in for the Europeans on Sunday, every putt. And then some that they haven't even hit yet were going in. It's a great event, and the Western Golf Association does an amazing job putting it on. So I salute you guys, Vince, and the Evans Scholars are the beneficiaries. So your dollars are put to very good use. If people want more information on any of it, where do they go?
BMWChampionship.com. Tickets are still available, and they're going fast. So if you're interested in coming out, we recommend doing it this next week. The playoffs start next week, and then we're August 13th through 18th.
Super Joe, are we giving away tickets next week? I think we are, aren't we?
We absolutely are.
Yeah, so we'll give away some tickets next week. Vince, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on, and we appreciate all your support for Western Golf and the Evans Scholars.
Well, I'm a believer. You know that. That's Vince Pellegrino. Vince is the tournament director, and that's a job that you think, well, that'd be fun. Sun up to sundown all day long, getting ready for this thing. Every single detail that goes into a golf tournament, he's got to be involved in, all of them.
You and I were out there playing, what, in early June?
Yeah.
And Vince was out there working the entire day.
Right.
He wasn't out there playing golf.
No, and he's a good stick. And as you know, whenever you're near a good golf course, you want to play a good golf course. That'd be the problem if I was ever the starter or volunteer.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
If I was starter, you know, and there was a delay, I'd just grab clubs out of somebody's bag and tee it up.
Just start hitting.
Yeah.
And can Rory McIlroy, can he get, like, text alerts with his tee time?
I think there was an additional layer to that story, don't you?
Yeah.
The police escort in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a great event. It's only a couple weeks away.
Yep.
BMW Championship USA?
BMWChampionshipUSA.com.
There you go. That's the website for the information.
Oh, boy. This is good news. The wait is over. Twin Gardens world-famous Mirai Sweet Corn is back. The extraordinary sweetness, flavor, texture, and tenderness makes it undeniably the best sweet corn out there. Once you take that first bite of Twin Gardens Mi Rai sweet corn, you'll never go back to regular sweet corn again. Pick up your green mesh bag today. Head to Twin Gardens, a mile and a half west of Harvard on Route 173, or your local farmer's market. Find a market near you. Go to twingardenfarms.com.
You're not kidding. It is the best.
It is the best. It's the first I've heard that they're ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're all excited around here.
Yes. When is it coming?
I think Sweet Corn Day, Joe, as I like to call it, is that next week or the week after?
I do not know, but I will
to be determined.
Out.
It's always we'll get a big secret.
Gary Pat comes in. Please be the week after because I'm going next week.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, we'll just take
who's filling
day.
In for you?
Next week, it'll be Mark Carman.
Who's on with us tomorrow?
Andy Mazur.
Not familiar with his work. Is he new?
Oh,
he's
Andy.
A new kid. Yeah. Just starting out.
Be good to see Andy. 312-981-7200 is the number. We're going to do a quick Lollapalooza band or a band I was in for prizes here. 312-981-7200 is the number. First caller in that wants to play. You'll have a chance at prizes. We have app gift cards to give away. And Dave, will you be going to Lollapalooza this weekend?
I won't because I'll be out of town.
Ooh, well, that's a good point. Mary, would you go to if I said to you, Mary,
never.
I'm giving you family tickets. Like, you got 900 people
family
in your family.
Tickets.
I'm giving you, like, 8 tickets. These are expensive seats, too, and they're hard to get tickets to. For a Lollapalooza, would you go?
I don't think so. Could I still have them for the rest of the family?
No. No. Steve, you ever go to a festival? You ever go to one of these?
Absolutely, yes.
What have you gone to? Like, can you get?
Let's see. I've gone to. Well, I can't really.
Southern Illinois Fest?
No, they're not really Southern Illinois Fest. I went to a couple of electronic music festivals. I won't name them because I don't want to.
Like EDM stuff?
Yeah.
How do I? Why do I? I don't see you into that, but you are. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I used to be more before I came here. I used to do it a lot more. But
do you have a Mighty Mouse head with X's across your eyes?
That lights up with red lights on top.
Yeah, exactly.
Of it? I absolutely do. Yes.
I take it back. So I would go to Lollapalooza if my son-in-law was playing. He's a musician, if he was playing.
What is it? Is he in a band?
Yeah, he's in the Eric Chesser Country Band.
Are they good?
Yes, they're very good. They were at the DuPage County Fair last weekend.
What does he play?
He plays, he plays everything, but he plays in this particular band the guitar, and he does vocals.
Wow, cool.
And he sang Shallow by himself.
Both parts?
Yes.
Wow.
He's phenomenal.
Well, that's cool to hear.
We should have him on the show sometime. He's
let's
really
do it.
Yes.
Come in and play.
My son-in-law.
Kathy's on the south side. Kathy, are you ready to play?
I am ready.
You know the concept, Kathy. I've been in a lot of bands. Apparently, I'm hard to work with. And
I hear you are difficult.
Yes, and I'm going to give you a name of a band. You tell me if it's a Lollapalooza band performing either this weekend or in the past, or... Is it a band that I was in that's never played Lollapalooza? The band is Lefty Loosey Righty Tighty. Lefty Loosey Righty Tighty. Is that a band I was in or Lollapalooza band?
That is Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza band. Steve?
I'm going to say that's Lollapalooza.
Mary?
Chrysanthus has been right a lot. Lollapalooza.
Dave?
That's a band you were in.
Right, and your final answer again, Kathy, is which? I forgot.
Lollapalooza.
Oh! It's a band I was in.
Because didn't they split with Dirty Shirley?
They did, and England Dan and John Ford Coley were our warm-ups, our opening act.
Along with Dorothy. Yeah, that was with Dorothy and the Goldfish or whatever that one was.
Yeah, that's true. Hold the line. If Mike's a sucker, he'll give you a prize anyway for calling in.
The Washington Post called Mitch McConnell what? I think the Washington Post is a Russian asset by comparison.
I think Trump gets up every morning and he goes, I'm going to make everybody so tired they'll stop even fighting me on this stuff. I don't know. He's not from this planet, so how can I possibly figure out what's actually happening there? My old friend Jason DeSantos here. When I say old, I mean that. We're old friends and you're old now.
I feel old.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I think it has something to do with the past couple of years. Yeah.
We've all aged considerably. Still teaching at Northwestern?
I am.
What is the subject matter? What's your focus?
So, doing law. the law school, freedom of expression, public advocacy, and then also in the School of Communication, working with executives who are hoping to become better executive communicators.
Public communication. What about debate? You still teach debate occasionally or analyze debate, certainly?
Still analyzing debate, still coaching debaters from time to time, staying in the fray.
Absolutely. I heard a rumor you're on with Pearson Sunday.
That's true. Our, talk about another old friend.
Yeah.
Oh, but aging gracefully.
Steve. Yeah. Well, depends on the day. So here's the thing. You see these things because you have to, but also you're like me. You're extremely interested in this because this is what determines the direction of this country. What have you seen in the first two debates, four nights, two debates, that has stuck out or concerned you?
We'll start with the stuck out positively. I think Elizabeth Warren has done really well for herself.
Agreed.
As somebody who has exhibited both true passion and conviction about her positions, you never doubt where she stands, but also somebody who's been able to leaven that a little bit and I think make better personal connections.
And she also has positions,
yes,
which you can't accuse all the candidates of.
Correct.
Yes.
I feel like Joe Biden has, I mean, this is not going to be news to anybody, has been wobbly. Was better last night, but I think has created a narrative or deepened a narrative about himself, a concern about himself as being up to the task in terms of being able to mount the campaign, continue the campaign, take the campaign to Trump. And then you have some other people who have done well for themselves and have, if you think about the first couple of debates, the goal of these debates, Steve, is to introduce yourself and to do it in a way that contrasts with other people so you stand out in a positive way.
Because outside of Joe Biden, these other people, maybe Warren, maybe Bernie, the other people aren't known.
They're not known beyond the political
their district
circles.
In the political circles.
Yeah, right. So Julian Castro, I think Cory Booker last night, Pete Buttigieg certainly has been very consistent and done well throughout. So these people have done well for themselves and I think have done well by giving themselves an opportunity to stand out from others, both either on the message they're delivering or simply in a way that lets us know that they have positive leadership attributes, that they seem like they know what they're talking about,
right,
and they seem like somebody that we're comfortable with. And, I mean, we can over-intellectualize a lot of the things that go on in these encounters, but that counts for a lot.
You mentioned Vice President Biden, who I'm admittedly a big fan of, not possibly being up to the task, whether he is or not. TV matters, image matters in these first two debates. He's appeared older than he ever has been, which is a ridiculous thing to say because he's an older guy. But Bernie Sanders, with his screaming and his shouting, who's actually a year older than the vice president, seems to have an energy level that he doesn't have. But Joe Biden has name recognition, longevity, commitment, and I think an ability to be elected. So is he his own worst enemy going forward?
He is, because he's at the center of the stage, he's fielding attacks, and he also has to attack back. And when we talk about the ability of a candidate to really tell their story and drive their message, they have to know their own positions, they have to know what their campaign's about, but they also have to be able to deliver their message in a contrasting way with other candidates. That's where he struggled in debate number one, and that's where he was better last night, and actually to the point of age, Steve, was better, I thought, in the last half hour of the debate last night, when as a viewer, I was getting exhausted.
Right.
Than he was earlier.
Got his second wind.
It seemed like it.
There's a point at the end of the debate during closing statements where he brought up what was to be a text messaging service, and he sort of presented it as a website. The hypocrisy of the internet is such that those kids, in quotes, criticizing him, said he's too old to do the job because he didn't know the difference between pitching a text message service versus pitching a web service or an internet site. If you're the staff, and you know that maybe this is a weakness for the candidate, do you even put that bomb in his hands?
I think it depends whether you think that he actually understands the difference. I mean, maybe it's not a bomb, right? When you give it to him, maybe...
So he nails it in rehearsals,
yeah,
and walkthroughs.
Maybe he's been conversant with it before. But I do think in the first debate, he had too much in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And he did strike me as a candidate who didn't have the moves, didn't have the knowledge, wasn't crisp with what he was trying to learn because he's been out of the fray for so long. Last night, particularly in some moments, I thought he was very sharp. And then in other moments, he seemed a little more vague and halting.
He's one of the great off-the-cuff guys. He's one of the great armchair, sit-down-with-a-cup-of-coffee politicians. He's always been a good foreign policy mind. but is a problem putting stuff in his head. And I'm not, the guy's extremely intelligent, obviously. I'm not knocking him there. But my point is he a guy, if you're advising him, you go, let's keep him as natural as possible and not bog him down with wonky stuff?
So, a couple of points there. First, he is good off the cuff, but most candidates are better off the cuff when they're organized and prepared in other ways.
Right.
So in the past, he was a good debater against Sarah Palin in 2008, mostly because of the preparation. They had a very simple strategy for him, which was 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Mm-hmm. They called it the Arthur Murray approach. And it was basically, here's the situation in the world. It's better under a president, or it's worse under a presidency of John McCain. It's better under a presidency of Barack Obama.
Right.
Simple. Keep all your answers in that format.
Right.
He did that. The first set of debates wasn't very crisp with those materials. Last night, better, and also, Steve, more prepared, which also, I think, gave him the comfort level. He got off a great line against de Blasio, which was not a prepared line. It was simply a reaction because de Blasio kept attacking him, and finally Biden said, I really have appreciated your affection for me in this debate.
Right, it was funny.
It made me laugh.
Right.
And that is a testament to him being very natural. So there's this paradoxical thing, I think, where candidates have to be prepared enough so that they are able to be comfortable in those moments. And they're not searching for things. And they can just be themselves. And then he can be somebody who is what we associate with Joe Biden, which is likable, decent, warm, all the things that he really wasn't in the first debate.
Mm-hmm. Is there a Jimmy Carter in this field? By that, I mean somebody who, at this point, people don't know, who has the ability to rise out of don't know in 2019 to not only do I know them, I really like them.
Well, they've gotten to know Buttigieg a little bit, so I'm going to take him out of that possibility. I actually think Castro is. Every time I see him, I'm very impressed with his ability to give very cogent answers, but also to execute the ebbs and flows of a debate, to field attacks comfortably, which he did last night on his own record on immigration when Biden came after him, and then his ability to turn those into very successful attacks. And I don't say this just simply tactically. Right? We can think about these debates as very tactical encounters, and for what I do, that's important to prepare people for the debates. But I look at it much more globally, which is, what is somebody telling you about their maturity level, about their ability to handle themselves in conflict, and about their ability to ultimately be themselves? I think those things are important. I think they extend on a much more strategic, genuine level about candidates. And Castro, to me, strikes me as somebody who is smart, who is prepared, who is unafraid. I think those are very positive qualities.
We'll take a break, come back before we run out of time. I want to ask you a question about the maturity of America in regards to being able to elect either a gay man, a Hispanic man, a woman of color. How far have we come? Because I don't know the answer to that. And in an era of Donald Trump, a lot of ugliness has come to the surface that could block some people who are otherwise perfectly qualified. Yeah. Northwestern Zone, Jason DeSanto here. You got to come in and do more time with us as time allows, because summer is your slow period before you get back into the full load of the fall.
Are you saying we're fallow?
I would if I knew what it meant. All right. So, but here's the thing I want to know from you before we go any further. Are we mature enough to elect a person of color, a gay person, in the case of Julian Castro, a Hispanic person, or has the scab been picked to the point with the Trump era that we now know we won't?
This is why candidates who say that we're at an inflection point, I believe, are fundamentally accurate. People like Buttigieg, I think Booker has said the same thing. I think the answer is yes. That's a basic faith.
I hope, right?
It's a basic
2019,
faith.
I hope.
It's a basic faith. It's an optimism that doesn't say, boy, I hope we can elect somebody with those attributes because they have the attributes. That's not the point. But it's, to me anyway, but it's, I hope we can elect somebody who can bring us together. And one of the things maybe that assists them in doing that is that they've seen the world from a different perspective.
Right.
I think we're at a point where we can do that. I think all bets are off. Who thought Trump could get elected? A number of people.
Not I.
Well, I think on one view, there might have been some people who said, of course he can. He's tapping into things that are central to some people.
You know when I accepted Trump could be elected? About 9 o'clock on election night.
Well, that's interesting, because that was before he accepted.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yes. So yes, I am optimistic that that is possible.
Well, that's good.
But
that's good.
Won't be easy. And I think that's the force of a candidate who is comfortable in their own skin, but also capable of fighting. And I think one thing that's interesting in these debates is some of the candidates are much more on the surface about, you should elect me because I can take the fight to Trump. Others make that argument more implicitly. Last night, for example, Kamala Harris, who I believe did not have a good evening on a number of levels, did give a good closing statement, which was based essentially on this idea that Trump's a predator, I know how to deal with a predator. And that's a full frontal argument that I'm the one you want on the debate stage next to Trump. Others have made the claim, Trump is a symptom of a larger problem, we need to evict him, I'm the one that not only can do that, but can take us to a much better place. So they're approaching Trump in a different way. They're framing how they stand in relationship to Trump in different ways.
Bill and Wendy are here. What do you guys think about Cloroxing the White House?
That was a great line.
Best line of the night.
It really was.
Hands down.
I think it was Colbert, may have been John Oliver, who said, we got to burn the White House down. And the question was why. He said, because at any given time, once a day, maybe more, Donald Trump's naked in the White House. So we have to burn it to the ground. So.
Clorox it first, then burn it, or burn it first?
I don't know. It's hard to say. Will you come back and do this again?
Of course.
Jason Love DeSanto, Northwestern, one of Northwestern's finest. Dave, do you know Jason?
I do know Jason.
He's a big fan of your work. His kids, not so much, but he likes you.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
We are fellow cats.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, no question.
And my
about
kids
it.
Love Dave's work. Oh, as Jason. America okay. loves Dave's
right.
work.
Thank you.
Bill and Wendy, what are you doing today?
We're going to sample a game that we can't play until this time next year. But we're going to sample it today.
Talk about planning ahead.
To make sure it's ready for this time next year.
So a tease for something that can't happen until next year.
It'll happen roughly 12 months from now.
Okay.
But we'll sample it today.
Ross Cochran will be on this show tomorrow.
The Ross Cochran?
Yeah.
Good get.
Will he be happy to be here?
He will be happy to be here, and I'll be happy to have him tomorrow. If you've been paying attention, you'll know what this is about. If not, see you tomorrow.
Oh.